Okay. Is it loud enough? Is the mic loud enough? Is it okay? Okay, boys, let's begin. Let us begin. Let's discuss. Let's run through. Maybe we'll just do it in one shot. We'll go straight until 12 o'clock. We'll discuss. We're going to discuss different short, selected halachos and minhagim in Yanim relating to the aseres you made to Teshuvah and a little bit about Yom Kippur. Let's see how far we get. Let's first start with... beginning with the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. Okay, during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, we do some special things. Okay, first of all, there is a minag, it's put in Shulchan Aruch, that a person should accept upon himself chumras. I know it's hard for us, that word is a very painful word, but it's Shulchan Aruch that during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, a person should accept upon himself to do certain chumras that he does not ordinarily do the entire year. For example, what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Pas palter. Although the whole year round, I'm not nizer. I should tell you all my secrets. I'm not always nizer in a pas Yisrael. I really should be. But every once in a while, I pass an Avenue M, and I see, I can smell the Stelladoro Swiss fudge cookies. Even though now, I was told by my sister-in-law, they have what's called a Strimal cookies, which are exactly the same. They're just as good, if not better, right? So there isn't either during the Aseres. I'll tell you a joke, we'll light you up. I cannot have not eaten the entire year. I'll tell you a joke. It's really very, very funny. I cannot the entire year, no, I shouldn't say that. But I very rarely the whole year have I eaten pas powder. Just doesn't happen because we live Baruch Hashem in a society today where pas Yisrael is so widely available. I just don't have the Yitzhar, I never just do it. But it just happened like a couple of days ago. I was in an Avenue M. And I was just very hungry. I didn't eat. I went away. I came back from the train. I was just very hungry. And I passed by to pick up a few things. And I saw it staring me in the eye. So I picked up a package of the Swiss fudge Stelladoro cookies in the store. And, you know, I was looking behind my left, my right. No one should see what I'm doing. I'm telling you, the whole year, I got away without eating pas palter. And as I check out, a fellow who comes around here once in a while, he happens just to pass by. He sees me from the outside. He walks into the store just to say hello to me, to talk to me. And he says to me, oh, I see. You're hopping around before the Aseres you made Teshuvah. I said, wow, you got me. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. You got me. What?
Absoluchus.
What? Absoluchus.
Absoluchus?
Oh, absoluchus. On spike. You got me. Okay, you got me. Good for you, you got me. But there is something that's brought down in Shulah. During the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, a person should be nizer and things that he ordinarily is not nizer. And that includes pas Yisrael. To try the best that you can. It's not, you don't have to, but the best you can have a choice to go the extra mile, not to eat pas palter. Chazal say that pas palter is, pas akum is forbidden. The reason why we do not eat pas akum, if it's baked by a goy, real pas akum, if baked privately by a goy, is a gzera in his house, even though they are all kosher ingredients, only baked under his authority, and for his own personal use, is forbidden. It is a gzera. It may lead to intermarriage. In ancient times, it was very hard to avoid this issue, so there was an exception made if it's called pas palter, if it's commercially baked, although it's baked entirely by a non-Jew, but the non-Jew is not baking the bread or baking the product for his personal consumption, he's baking the bread to sell in the marketplace. This is a leniency that was accepted in Klal Yisrael. Today it's very easy to be nizer, not even to eat pas palter, but only to eat pas Yisrael. However, it's permitted. It's permitted. I remember once I was at a seminar about Rav Herschel Schachter Shlita. He said that we must be doing something wrong in America. He says it was an OU Ask event. They have these different seminars where they invite the public to see what the OU does. And his topic, he was speaking about pas palter. The OU very readily, where OU gives a heksher on pas palter. Many of the products are OU, and it's baked by goyim. and it's meant to be sold commercially, so it's permitted. So if Harish al-Shechba said that we have the OU, we give a hechsher and pass palter, but we must be doing something wrong. Because if the reason why Chazal prohibited us to eat pas akum, that's been baked privately by a non-Jew for his own consumption, is because of gezerah, it should not lead to intermarriage. If in America today the rate of intermarriage is over 75%, then we must be doing something wrong. We must be doing something wrong. Maybe it's time to rethink of our how lenient we are in regard to pas palter. So, no, they're not going to throw them out. So what's going on over here? If Chazal made a gzera not to eat pas akum, it should not lead to intermarriage. How come today in America we have such a high rate of intermarriage? It's very, very frightening. In any event, during the Aseres of Yeshua, it's brought down in Shulchan Nizer. What else should a person be Nizer in? So they write, the place of this collection of different short things. They write about Bosor Chalak, which is what we call glat kosher meat. It used to be that most meat was not what we call glat kosher, which means there are different leniencies, there are different levels of, if when they make an inspection of the lungs of the animal, if there are sirchos. If there are no sirchos at all, so it's called glat. Today, Rabbi Mayevsky is not here. He will give us many hours telling us about the industry standards of glat. There probably take probably at least five levels of glat.
What is a sircha?
A sircha means an adhesion. An adhesion, some type of
attachment, a scab,
which indicates that there is a hole in the lungs, and as the air, the humidity comes out of the lungs, in that area it develops like a bump. It develops some type of like a pus pimple, something along those lines. There are different types, different thicknesses, different levels. And if it's completely, completely smooth, when they inspect the inside of the lungs, there are absolutely no adhesions, no pimples, no scabs. I don't know the correct word to use for it. Then it's called glat, which means that it's smooth. It's smooth. Chalak, it's smooth. The highest level is Beis Yosef glat, the Mechaber. The Mechaber is very machmir. His standards are very, very high. It has to be completely smooth. So it's something called today base Yosef Glat. Sfardim will only take the cleanest animals. And even today amongst the Sfardim, there are different levels of base Yosef Glat. There are different degrees of what, because there's no such thing as perfect. Yes, even more. There's no such thing as an animal being completely... What?
Where do you get so many base Yosef?
You don't. You can't. You really can't. It's there. They can't get away with that. That's why the standards have been lowered. There are different levels. And then Ashkenazim were not makbid on this high standards of the Sardim of the Mechaber. We follow a lower standard, but even that, there's something called glat. And in what we call glat, there are many, many levels. I mean, you have to speak to caterers. You know, it's very. You go to a wedding, or go to a dinner, and they're serving 1,000 portions of tongue. It's impossible that all that tongue is a glad, what we call glad kosher. It's impossible. I heard from many people. There are not enough animals in the world that can provide. That's another issue. It's not the issue. How many? A tongue is coming from an animal. There aren't that many animals. You want meat. So meat, and an animal has a lot of meat. But an animal only has one tongue. There's only one tongue. You don't have the how big is the tongue already? The tongue is... How many portions can you already serve from one tongue? How many portions? Okay, my boy, so whatever it is. It's not for now, but there definitely is a minog Yisrael, some say borders on halacha, that during the Aseres you made teshuva. Whatever your standards are in regard to for meat, in glat, to go a little bit higher, to be a little bit more machner. Okay, then the place can speak that a person should be nizer during the Aseres Yimei Teshuva. You're not going to like this. Not to talk during davening. Okay, at least during the Aseres Yimei Teshuva. Another minhag is to be from the Asara Rishonim for davening, or at least, the very least, to come on time. Okay, the other, whatever it is, to each his own, it's a time for a few days to attempt to be a little bit more machmir than we are the entire year in order to merit schusim. The reason Chazal give is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called, is noyeg imoy vatsinusach atzila b'chassidus. Hashem, during this time, is noyeg with us. Does anyone remember the nusach atzila by heart? Is noyeg imanu b'chassidus. The nusach atzila is Hisnaheg b'chassidus, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes lefnim mishuras hadin. He does for us during these days more than what we deserve, more than the letter of the law. He gives us more than what we deserve. Therefore, it is our duty to reciprocate and to be noyeg in halacha lefnim mishuras hadin. It's permitted to eat pas palta. However, if Hashem is noyeg imanu in hisnaheg b'chassidus lefnim mishuras hadin, should we not reciprocate and also be misnaheg with HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chassidus? Go lefnim mishuras hadin. Maybe you're allowed to talk at certain parts of davening, but it's proper to hold back just during these few days. And the goal is to make an impression upon us. Maybe we'll behave a little bit differently throughout the rest of the year. Okay, next topic. Slichos. The ikar zman to recite slichos is during the Aseres Yimei Teshuva. So that means even if a person slacks off a little bit during Erev Rosh Hashanah and during the week before Rosh Hashanah, he was not nizar to recite slichos as best that he could, but a person should make the extra effort to recite slichos with kavana properly and come on time during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, because that is the ikur zman that Chazal instituted slichos. When we do before Rosh Hashanah, Chodesh Elul, Sfardim, and by Ashkenazim, the week before Rosh Hashanah, is a minhag. But during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, it's serious business, so we should be aware to upgrade our standards during these days more than we have been during the days leading up to Rosh Hashanah. Okay, next topic. It's an interesting minhag that during Birchas Hamazon, I never knew this, it says over here, Harachan. So some will say there's a minhag. We don't do, it's not common among us, that whenever we open up the Aron HaKodesh, during Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, to recite the Yud Gimel Midos Harachanim. I've never seen this. Every time, today, when they opened up the Aron HaKodesh to the Kriya Satorah today, did they say the Yud Gimel Midos Harachanim? No. No. Yes. What? You switch the days. That's on Monday. On Monday, Thursday. You switch the days of what you say when you say the Yud. When you say the Yud Gimel. This year, the last. Normally, it's the last day. Normally, the last day. According to the Seder of Slichos, the last day, the day before the last day of Slichos, when you say the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. That's the name of the Slicha at the end. And if that does not fall out, if the last day is not Monday, Thursday, so there are customs which switch the order. They reverse it because you want to say on the very last day of Slichos, the day before Erev Yom Kippur, you want to conclude with the Yud Gimel Midos Haram. That's a different topic. I'm not prepared. Maybe we'll talk about this later on. Okay, now let's go to the next topic.
If Ashkenazi can start Slichos from the first of Elul,
if you want, you can go to a Sfari shul.
It's normal.
Not in the minute. In the minute.
No, to come to the Sfari.
Of course.
Not
of course. No, it's not also. He can, if he wants to, he can go to a Sfari shul. It's permitted. It is permitted. There's no harm done going to David in a Sfari shul slichos in the beginning of Chodesh El. Perfectly fine. Okay. Next topic. The next topic is, and then this is new to me. You tell me what your custom is. And when one recites Birchas Hamazon during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah today in the Harachamans, there is a minhag to say Harachamon Hu Yechadesh Aleinu Shana Toiva. Just like we say this Harachamon. What? Right. It's similar. Correct. Just like we recite this Harachamon on Rosh Hashanah, there is such a minhag to recite this harachmon during the entire Aseres Yimei Teshuvah.
That's why.
Even for Rosh Hashanah,
that's why it's planned out. It's not let an
okay, by it's a simcha. They have the slichu mechila. There's simcha. They do not allow. That's a minhag. There are some that have a minhag. I came across this totally off the topic. You tell me if you ever heard this thing. Totally off the topic. I came across in a sefer recently is that there is a minhag that a person should always say harachman hu yivarech avi moiri v'yasimi marasi in birchas hamazon even after the petira of their parents. You say it every single day. You don't say obviously Bal Habayis Hazeh, yes, Bal Asa Bayis Hazeh.
Say it Bal Habayis. Deliberately. Some people have a Kabbalah.
You should say it.
Or Israel, but they say something. Wash every day so they could say that Harach.
That's why they wash and they wash, just to be able to say that. Beautiful, beautiful. Yes, yes. I don't know. I'm telling you something I never heard. It blew my mind. I'm throwing it out to Ster Chagav, and you're telling me yes. You're telling me it's true. You say what?
I say it. I'm still scared.
You say it.
So
you're telling me that even to say the words, I'm sorry, what's your name?
Yossi
Jacob. Yossi Jacob, Shalom Lechem, welcome. Thank you for coming. So you say even to say the words, as Baal Habayis Hazeh, Yes Baalas Bayis Hazeh, even to say those words, but even though they're not here, they're not the Baal Habayis. Who's the Baal Habayis?
You wouldn't be here, you wouldn't be Baal Habayis.
So you say these words, Ad Kedei Kach. Okay, interesting. I never heard this before. You learn something new every day. I mean, that's for me, so you understand. There's such a thing. One of the things that made an impression upon me is I once went to a Beis Avel, and the Avel said that the hardest part of the Avelos is when he benches. His whole life he said, Oisivias Ishti. And this person was an Avelos for his wife. And when he came, and he told me, he said to me, the hardest part, you know, the Avelos is on my bench. I come to those words of Birchas Hamazon. And he was an Avelos for his wife. It was very painful. Okay, so, you know, these harachmans, we can't take these things very loud. Okay, let's go further. That was off the topic. Next topic. The next topic of the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. Now, this is scary. He brings that over here from the Gedolei Yisrael. I'm not exactly sure who says this, that during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, it can be a little frustrating. You have to get up earlier for Slichus. You have to add into the Nisach HaTfilah, all of these things. You have to remember to say HaMelech HaKadosh, HaMelech HaMishpat, and some have the custom to have Chumras, the extra Chumras of not even owning Pas Yisrael, whatever, all different Chumras. It gets frustrating. A person should be super duper careful not to complain, and not to let his mind play games with him and say, I can't wait until this is over. Cannot wait until this is over. Just a few more days. Oh, Avinu Malkeinu by Mincha. Oh, I got to go through all the Avinu Malkeinus. I can't wait until Tuesday night. Tuesday night we get to Ne'ilah. Hashem.
Wednesday
night? Tuesday night. Tuesday night is called Nidra Yoram Friday. I'm sorry, right? You're Tuesday night, Wednesday night, right? Wednesday night until you get to the Ilah. Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. Oh, we get to Wednesday night, it's all over. Business as usual. If a person has those thoughts, it borders on what Chazal tell us about the Umay So'ilam in the time of Mashiach, when Hashem will give them an opportunity to acquire Olam Haba by building a sukkah. And living in the sukkah for a couple of days. Just a couple of days, a mitzvah sukkah, a mitzvah kala. And Hashem will take the sun out of its sheath, and the temperature will be 120 degrees, and they're going to be sitting in the sukkah schwitzing, and they're going to say, I can't take this anymore. And they're going to pick themselves up, walk out of the sukkah, close the door, and kick the sukkah. Kick the sukkah. They're allowed to leave the sukkah. Oynis Rachmona Patre, Mitzta'er is Potter min HaMitzvah, Yipotter min HaSukkah. But Hashem's going to say to them, why did you have to kick it? When you walked out of the Sukkah, you're Potter. You're exempt from the mitzvah. It's too hot to sit in the sukkah. But don't kick the sukkah on the way out. So right here, from some scary books, if Rachmana Litzlan, a person during these days, he allows it to percolate, it's hard. We're only human beings. Okay? We're entitled to have complaints. But if you allow the complaints to be such a level where you think to yourself, I can't wait already until these days are over, it is equivalent to kicking the sukkah. Just like the Umar Yisraelam. So think twice.
Is it normal when you're fasting to think like that?
It is. It is normal. It is normal. But we have to work on ourselves to mimikabel it. So it's a little bit difficult for a couple of days. It's hard. It's hard for everyone. No one has it easy. Okay, so don't, Rabbi Yisai, don't kick the sukkah during these days. Yeah.
That's why it's important to show neither is
Exactly. You have to work on it.
It's called in Yiddish Gotz too.
Oh, Gotz Nomen. Gotz Nomen. Gotz Nomen. The day after Yom Kippur is called Gotz Nomen. Hashem's name. Why you switch back from Hamelech HaKadosh to Hakel HaKadosh. What's more choshev? Hakel or Hamelech? Hakel is more choshev. Because Hakel is one of the seven names that may not be erased. Hamelech has no sanctity. So we think now we're in the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, we're going to a higher madrega, higher, and we conclude, oh, Hamelech HaKadosh. And if we do not say Hamelech HaKadosh, we have to repeat the Shemona Esrei. The truth is we're going down during these days because Hamelech has no sanctity. Hakel has sanctity. We have to take a step down in order to raise ourselves higher so that we come to, after Yom Kippur, we're even on a higher madrega where we can come to the day, after Yom Kippur, called the day which is called Gotz Nomen, Hashem's name. Okay, let's do the next topic.
Hamelech HaKadosh is Kedusha. Hamelech HaKadosh is only Hashem.
Only Hashem.
You told people that Hamelech HaKadosh is not accepted.
These are the days when we focus on Hashem's Malchios, but does not take away from the fact that Hakel still has greater sanctity than Hamelech. Hakel is one of the seven names which may not be erased. Okay, next topic. The minig is not to have weddings during the Aseres Yimei Teshuva. Now, does anyone know? Anyone invited to a wedding during these days? It could be there are exceptions, but b'derech klal, the minig Yisrael is not to schedule weddings during this time period due to the Emas Hadin. Okay, next topic. What? No, that's permitted. That is permitted because that is totally in the Zman. That you don't have a choice. That's Bo Bayom. So a bar mitzvah, a bas mitzvah, it's Bo Bayom. That is permitted. But a wedding, you can decide the calendar date, so that we do not do. What? Elo didn't get married. That's a different story.
People did not. I remember
they used to not get married. I know someone always tells me he was a student by Rav Rudiman. Rav Rudiman Shlit Zech Tzadik Levracha. And the boy came, Rav Rudiman was sitting there in his dining room with his wife. And the boy came, knocked on his door and said, Rebbe, mazel tov, I became a chassan. And the Rebbe kissed him, and he said, we're planning the wedding for Zion El. So Rav Rudiman says to the boy, I'm sorry, I'm not coming. We do not, meaning yeshiva, we do not make weddings in Chodesh Elul. It's a Zman of Teshuvah. So Rav Rudiman's wife was sitting by the table, and she said, Rabbi Rudiman. She called him Rabbi Rudiman. When did you get married? So he then said, okay, you can have your wedding. I'll come. His wife. Yeah. Yes.
The whole month.
Okay. Chassidim do not have a wedding past the 15th day of the month. It's not a simon toy because the moon is on the decline. So they typically will not make a wedding after day 15, but you're saying that during Chodesh Elul, it's the day Slich Lechila, they will have a wedding even past day 15. There are different minhagim today. It's extremely common today to have weddings in Chodesh Elul. No one holds back. That's the way it is we live today. Okay, let's go further. Next topic of discussion. Okay, there is such a minig. They used to do this in Chaim Berlin. I don't know if they still do this. I remember they did this. Maybe they still do this. Is that during the Aseres he made Teshuvah, if there is a Bris Milah after davening, they recite during the Slichos a special Pizmain, an additional Slicha. Now, there's a very big confusion as to what you're supposed to recite. The Olam that did this would basically recite the Pizmon that appears on Erev Rosh Hashanah Zuchor Beris Avraham. I remember them doing the day before. I don't know, whatever. No, I think it's Erev Hashanah also. Day before Erev Hashanah. I remember them doing this. I remember them years ago. I haven't not seen them do this recently, even when there is a Bris Milah. By the way, you know there's a Bris Milah. If they're there, their minhag is they only recite one. They daven slichos. Okay, they recite slichos very slowly. The slichos there take longer than probably every shulin flapush. They say everything very, very slowly, even though they only recite one pizman. They just recite Ashrei L'chashem Atzdaka, Chasi Kaddish, and then the Yud Gimel Midos, and then they just recite the pizman, and then the Shema Zuchar Hachamecha, and then we wind down. And then they do it very, very slowly. So if they're only saying one piyut, okay, you only say one piyut. But then you get very shaken up. Wait a minute, what are they doing now? You're only supposed to say here one piyut. And they would say the piyut of Zuchar Beris Avraham. Now what's very interesting is the Mishnah Berurah tells you to do this, and he quotes the piyut, but the early sources indicate that the piyut that the Mishnah Berurah refers to is not the correct piyut. There's another piyut that's not so common amongst us, only found in the very back of the old Slichos. It's a different piyut, which is also of Zuchar Beris V'al Tofer. It's a different piyut. It talks about Bris Milah. So somehow there's a lot of confusion that it snuck in, and by mistake, instead of reading the piyut that was really meant to be recited, Zuchar Beris V'al Tofer, that's not even part of the Nusach of Slichos at all, was added when there was a Bris Milah during the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. And it became the meaning of those who did say piyut would say the one that was said the day before Rosh Hashanah. Today, he writes over here, it says that no one does this anymore. It's a lost art. This minhag to add this additional piyut when there is a Bris Milah has come to an end. For some reason, we do not do it, but why not? Why have we stopped doing what used to be the minhag he's shown, especially to recite the correct piyut? Just throwing that out. Found that to be very interesting. So let's now jump to Shabbos Shuva. On Shabbos Shuva, there are two ways to pronounce the Shabbos. Either it's called Shabbos Shuva, and it's called Shabbos Shuva. We name it after the Haftorah. Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. It's named after Hoshea, the opening words of the Haftorah. However, in the Hasidic world, many pronounce it Shabbos Teshuva. They don't refer to the Haftorah. It's the Shabbos when we focus, the theme is to focus on doing Teshuvah. And why would it be called Teshuvah? It would appear it's because it's called Shabbos Teshuvah in reference to the drasha of the rabbi. In ancient times, the rabbi only spoke publicly on Shabbos twice a year. Spoke Shabbos Shuvah, or Shabbos Teshuvah, and Shabbos Hagadol. And the Ikar Tafkid of the Shabbos Shuvah drasha was to be Me'orer, the Olam, to do Teshuvah. The Ikar Tafkid of the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha was to teach Halacha, to teach the people what they need to do. Obviously, times have changed. We have drashas every single Shabbos, we have sermons, but this was the old minhag, and it would appear that those that call this Shabbos, Shabbos Teshuvah, the reason why they call it Teshuvah is they are focusing on the drasha. Those who call it Shabbos Shuvah are focusing on the Haftorah. Okay, that's the difference between Shabbos Teshuvah or Shabbos Shuvah. Now, as we said, there's a minhag to go to a Shabbos Shuvah drasha. And this, what's the purpose of the Shabbos Shuvah drasha? I'll tell you the real purpose, Rabbi Isaiah, son of a rabbi. I'll tell you what it's all about, the emes. The purpose of going to the Shabbos Shuvah drasha is to show respect to the rabbi. The less you understand the drasha, the better. The more you completely do not relate to what the rabbi is saying, the greater fulfillment you have achieved in going to the drasha. It is a statement, I am loyal to you. there is no greater tool a Baal HaBos has to show a rabbi that you do not hold from them than not going to their Shabbos Shuvah Drasha and not going to their Shabbos Hagadol Drasha. The third way to show the rabbi you do not hold from them, the third greatest tool in your arsenal, is not to sell them the chametz. Okay? There are many Baal HaBatim who say, I finally saw this in print for the first time from a person that is written in an art scroll book who did this. It's unbelievable. I always knew about this. In fact, it's interesting. My mother actually told, I told this to do about people. They used to go and sell their chametz to multiple rabbanim.
Yes.
I have five rabbanim. I daven here Friday night. I daven here Shabbos morning. I daven here during the week. And I daven here on Yom Tov. So who should I sell my chametz to? So people went and they sold it to all. And then the shaila was, which guy owns your chametz? Which guy? So this is a tshuvas heard about this. And you know what the tshuvas write? The tshuvas all say, that's the guy's problem. That's not your problem. That's what they write. It's the guy's problem. The guy will have to figure out, you sold your chametz. That's for sure. Who, which guy? Let him worry about it. That's not. It's respect. I once asked my father was everything of Shabbos, was everything of selling chametz, Baal HaBos would come sell chametz. It was years ago, this whole thing today is fizzled out. So I told this to my mother, this thing, and then I told my mother, who should I go to sell my chametz? I have a shaykhus with this rabbi, that rabbi, that rabbi. My mother, without blinking out, she said, sell to all of them, you go, show them respect. Sell the chametz to all of the rabbanim. She told me to do this. Like that. So I finally saw, I always wondered, anyone who actually does this today? So in the new biography of Rabbi Meir Zlatowitz, he writes in the biography, he went to every single rabbi that he had a shaykhus with to sell his chametz.
Yeah, that would be, and if you would sell your path to everybody, it would be identical.
It would not be bottled. If you sell your car in American law, if you sell your car to 20 people, so is you'll let them go to court and fight about it. It's not your problem. You sold the car. Don't worry about it. By selling your chametz, you got rid of it. You got rid of it. The most machne of all of them. You have no choice. The most machne of all the rabbanim. You have no choice. You have no choice. What? If you sell your car to multiple people and you claim that it's yours, so you're going to go to jail. Yes, a good kasha. Yes, a very good kasha. I don't have an answer, but it works. It still works. When it comes to chametz, when it's
selling chametz, you get money.
No, but the guy is giving. The guy is actually giving money. The guy, first of all, the guy only gives a deposit. The guy doesn't pay for all the chametz up front. The guy gives a teeny, teeny deposit. And then after...
You are correct.
You're asking an excellent question, and the answer has to be worked out. Why it's valid. I have no doubt that it's valid. It's a very good shiloh. Okay, let's go weiter. I'm running out of time. I want to cover some ground. Let's go weiter. Rabbi Sai. So therefore, Rabbi Yisrael, I'm telling you the fact. The fact is, there's no greater way to insult a rabbi. You have no idea. There's no greater way to show a rabbi you don't hold from him than not going to the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. I know, I'll tell you something very interesting. This past Friday night, it was a real eye-opener for me. At a certain place I go, there's a certain person, he's a very big Talmud Chacham. Really, he's really a cut above the rest. And it was Rosh Hashanah. He's a cut above the rest. I talk to him every so often, and he's always very critical. He's very critical of the yeshiva system we have in place today, of everything, you know, like everyone is very, very critical. Like he holds himself to be above the system. And it was in Shul Rosh Hashanah, and they invited a speaker to speak between Mincha and Ma'ariv for mamash for 10 minutes, the last 10 minutes. And he's sitting there towards the center, and this person was an older person. It wasn't a young, wasn't a kid. It was an older person, older than this fellow. And I was watching there, and I was sitting there. It was not so far away. And this fellow, who was a Talmud Chacham, a cut above every, and holds himself to be above, he sat the entire 10 minutes right in front of the speaker with his head immersed in the sefer. And my opinion of him, who am I to judge anyone, it just like, who are you? What a disgusting thing. For 10 minutes, a person that's older than you, a Talmud Chacham, a respected person, it's true, you're a captive audience. Okay, you'll complain, it's not fair. I'm sitting here and someone comes and speaks, a captive audience, what right do you have to inconvenience me? I don't want to go to this drasha. You're already there. The guy is going to speak for 10 minutes. He has good stuff to say. You know, he spoke well. Okay, you'll tell me he's so smart. He can learn and hear at the same time. Learn this. Even walking out is disgusting. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's the Yom Hadin. You don't have the decency for 10 minutes in front of this person just to sit and listen. And you're the one who's always so critical. You know, better. You're smarter than everyone else. Of all the Rosh Hashivas, all the Gedolim. You criticize the whole system of education. If you would be in charge of the education system, achim zei, look at the midas, look at the derech eretz you have for someone else, look at your midas. Achim zei, that if you would be in their position to make decisions on how chinuch should be administered in klal yisrael.
You told me halacha or
midas? Mamish midas. To me, it was a real eye-opener. A real eye-opener. I thought of this person as a very... That's the derech eretz you have for someone else. It was really shocking to me. My boy said, Shabbos Shuva is all about not understanding the drasha. Not every rav, my boy said, sorry to tell you, let me say my piece. Not every rav is the most dynamic, inspirational speaker. That's how it is. Rabbonim are hired to serve a purpose to paskin halacha. Every rav has their unique milos that no other Rav has. And not every Rav gives the best, most outstanding Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. But believe me, it's an insult to the Rav who you are close with. If you decide, you know what, I'll just come for Mincha, I'll go somewhere else. Believe me, they know. They take note. They notice. They make believe they don't. They have a rough skin. They take a lot of garbage. But Shabbos Shuvah is a time, basically... It's one of the Klal Yisrael is built upon a foundation of respect. Of respect for authority. That is the reality. An Orthodox Jew, part of the ikarim of being an Orthodox Jew is to have respect for authority. That's how it goes. That's it. If you're not going to have respect for authority, don't be an Orthodox Jew. You're in the wrong camp. You're in the wrong place. Shabbos Shuvah is a time to show the rabbi, it's the Yom Hadin, it's Yom Kippur. I respect you. You may not enjoy his drasha, and you probably don't, because that's not every person, you know, different strokes with different folks. Okay, that's the world we live in today. There's such a plethora of inspirational speakers. You go online, it's like you can drown in what's available out there, and not every rabbi, local rabbi, has that talent. But the rabbi serves a purpose. He serves a purpose. He's in charge. You need a person to be in charge of the Kehillah. It should not be a circus when there's no rabbi. And no rabbi, I see what goes on there. There's no rabbi. It's mamish, a circus. A circus. It's a joke. A rabbi is the authority, and he serves a purpose, and he does have milas. He has talent in his unique way, and it's a time of respect. This is what the Shabbos Shuvah Drash is all about. I can tell you names of the biggest Gedolei Yisrael people could not understand a word that they said. Not even one word could they pick up on. And yet, these people were recognized as being successful, hands down, successful Manhige Yisrael. And that is what Shabbos Shuv is about. And that's what Shabbos HaGadol is about. And that's what it means to sell your chametz to the rough. It's simple. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. What? So you do the one, you know what to do. The one person who dives in five shuls, he knows which Shabbos, HaGadol Drasha he should go to. He knows where he'll get the most bang for his buck. Everyone knows. You don't have to tell people. People on their own, they know what to do. They know what the right thing is to do. Okay, Rabbi Sayyid Kotz, I'm running out of time. What? That's Pasha. Rabbi Sayyid, next topic of discussion. This again, it's an ancient minhag Yisrael Shabbos Shuvah. I told you the real secret about the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. It's not about what the rabbi says. It's not about, it's just plain, just to sit there, to show I have respect. I have respect for authority. Zehu. And the less you understand, the better. Trust me. Next topic. And this is a juicy topic. If you want to get into a fist fight on Shabbos Shuva, right before Yom Kippur, you've come to the right place. And that is, what do you do? How the Haftarah? There is no greater controversial opinion of a Haftarah, of what length of the Haftarah than Shabbos Shuva. Take out a Chumash, take out the old Chumash and the new Chumash, and every Chumash is different Seder. Basically, there are three candidates fighting to be lain from as the Haftarah on Shabbos Shuva. We all say from Hosea, the first of the Tzrei Asar, Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elohichi Choshav Bavamecha. The next candidate that's chalashing to be lain from is Sefer Yoel. Okay, Sefer Yoel, and the third is from Sefer Micha. Sefer Micha has the psukim that we say in Tashlich. Mikel Kamoicha Nose Oven Loiver Alfeshel V'Sheres Nachal Asai. I think it's three psukim, but we read more. We read more because we do not want to end off on a bad note. We don't want to end off on a bad note, so we read a few more too. Maybe if you just pass me this article finish. Okay, so what's the question? The question is, you have to really lay all three? Come on, all three from Trey Osar? You have to, why do you have to lay all three?
It's a small bedroom.
What?
You lay from a club.
So you have to be goyel, you have to nish. It's not too much to nish. It's very minimal to nish. So what are the issues? And the issue is, as far as going from one sefer to another sefer, that is not an issue. There's a halacha that you now have to go lay from two different sarim for the haftarah. That's not an issue when it comes to the trei asar, because the trei asar are all in one book. The issue now, there's another issue. We have a rule that you have to lay in at least 21 pesukim. This was the usual takana, that the psukim of the Haftarah correspond to the aliyos. There are seven aliyos, and each aliyah has at least two psukim, so you have to lay at least 21 psukim. If you're only going to lay from Hosea, you don't have 21 psukim. So therefore, we have to supplement it with an additional reading. Now, is that really correct what I just said? Because the Gemara does make an exception that if you read it in a complete topic, solik in yana. If you lay in a complete topic, you do not need to lay in 21 pesukim. There are different examples. We do not lay in 21 pesukim because the complete inyan. So these are the questions. So what do we do with that? Let us say that we are going to indeed lay in all three sections from three different neviim to make up 21 pesukim. Bigger question, which one do you lay from first? Which one second? And which one third? I just said it's not necessarily called Shabbos Teshuva. Not everyone, a lot of the early Achronim, they refer, a lot, most, many Sfarim refer to a Shabbos Teshuva. Even the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes always calls the Shabbos Teshuva. Chassidim, they call Shabbos Teshuva. And I can tell you, the reason is because they're not focusing on the Haftarah, they're focusing on the Rabbi's Drasha, on the Drasha to inspire us to do Teshuva. So what do we do? Halacha l'maisa, it is not at all clear, and even in the Chumashim, I can't seem to find it over here, I don't know what page it's on. Okay, what page, what? I need a regular Chumash. I have here the English one. Let me see what it is. This is Sukkos. Let me go backwards. Let me go to Hazinu. Okay, give me one second. Just give me half a second. Let me tell you how they present it over here. I'm very curious to see what they give in the article. Chumash is the English. This is the Stone Edition. Mishing. Let's see. Bahar. Pinchas. Devarim. Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, I just want to see what Hazinu. Okay, Hazinu. Vayelech. Here it is. Okay. I have here in front of me two art scroll Chumashim, the Stone Edition and the Hebrew Edition. Okay, in the stone edition, they have a lot of instructions. I'm not going to read now. I'm just going to look what it says. There's a Shuva Yisrael, okay, which is only nine. It's eight pesukim. It starts on nine pesukim. It's only nine pesukim. Starts with pasuk beis in Hosea, Perek Yudalit, pasuk beis, the end of Hosea, through pasuk yud. Then it starts with. Then it goes to Sefer Yoel, the Hashem Nosan Koyle Sefer. Wow. This is a deviation of all of the old Chumashim. In all of the old Chumashim from the from what was the publishing company called?
Hebrew.
Hebrew publishing company. Hebrew, not the food, not the chickens. The Hebrew publishing company and all of the old Chumashim do not put the Hashem Nosan Koloi as number two. Number two is Hosea. Hosea, we read only on the book, Mikel Kamecha. Mikel Kamecha, Nois of Yovel Peshel, the Shes Nachlaso, and then Yoshev Yerachaneu, Titin Emes Liakov, Chesel Liarab, Hashem Shvar, I was saying the name, three psukim. That's it, three psukim, period. They put that second. That was traditionally number two. And then came Yoel, and there's a lot. Yes. Yoel, and we read quite a bit. The truth is, there are different minhagims, what to read and say for Yoel. Some read more, some read less. There are different versions of what how much you're supposed to read. Here, now, why would that be ideal to do what it says in the Hebrew publishing company? Why? Because Chazal explicitly say that Micha, and that Hosea, and Micha were Nisnabe at the same time. They are a team. They're correct. The Hebrew publishing company is correct, yeah?
But the only thing is, when you learn from a clock...
Oh, we're going to get to that. Why not? You can't go backwards? That's going to be the part of the topic of discussion. But Chazal explicitly say that Hosea and Micha, they were Nisnabe b'perek echad in one time period. And that is the reason why, seemingly, you were laying a Shuva Yisrael. When we finish, we do not know. I didn't clarify. The reason why we're looking to lay more is because the end of Hosea ends off on a bad note. Why can't we just lay 9 psukim? He'll tell me we need 21 psukim. That's one answer. There's a better answer, because the 9 psukim end off ufoishim. Sinners, Yikoshluvam, stumble in Hashem's mitzvahs. That's not a nice thing. You're not allowed to end off on a bad note. So just because maybe you'll tell me 9 psukim, solik, and yana, we're finished with the topic, but it's not nice to conclude on a bad note. So therefore, we have no choice but to append more psukim. So what shall we append? Well, who was the colleague of Hosea? Who was part of his team? It was Micha. Micha. And Micha said psukim that are very apropos for the Yimei Hadin, the Yud, Gimel, Midois, Harachamim. The psukim of Mikel Kamecha capture the theme of the Yud, Gimel, Midois, Harachamim. There can be nothing better. So we'll go with the same Sefer called Choyal. So we can go to Micha. And what's the problem now? Why would we want to lay more? Because once already we're not discussing one Inyan, so now we really need to be mashlim to the 21 psukim. If you have only one Inyan, fine. But now that we've shown that we don't care about one Inyan, we're jumping to Micha, you need to be mashlim 21 psukim. So we have to add more. We have to go find another section of Trei Aser that mentions words that relate to the Yimei Hadin. And the best candidate from the entire Trei Aser would be what it says in Sefer Yoel, V'Hashem Nosan Koloi, Ki Rav Moi Machaneu, and the Yimei of the Kiru Levavchem Bi'al Big Dechem, rip your hearts, not your clothing, v'chulu, v'chulu. And there's even a better reason. Someone told me to last week is because who was Yoel? Yoel was a Baal Teshuvah. Yoel was the son of Shmuel, who the pasuk explicitly says was thoroughly corrupt, was as corrupt as it got. And yet Yoel became a prophet. How did Yoel become a prophet? Because Yoel, by example, did Teshuvah. There's no better thing to read from than a person who is an example of what it means to do tshuva. It's unbelievable. It doesn't say that any of the prophets that we know about, they were sinners. They were holach achar habetza. They were mata es hadin. It says that pasuk he was corrupt as can be, this fellow Yoel. And look at that. From becoming the most corrupt, Yoel, Shmuel's son, from becoming corrupt, he became a prophet. How does that happen? Teshuvah. That's the greatest message. So Yoel is a winner. He's a winner. We got to learn from Yoel. So that's how it was done traditionally. That's how all of us grew up. Don't tell me otherwise. Yeah. Everyone here in this room grew up where you learned on Shabbat Shuvah, Shuvah Yisrael. You then learned Mikel Kamecha, and then you learned from Yoel. That's how every single one in this room grew up. No doubt about it. And then We became very smart. We know better than our parents and our grandparents. We became much wiser. After all, we say, right? We have to fulfill what it says in the Nusach HaTzilah that our forefathers, Aval, Anachlu Vavoseinu, they didn't know what they were doing either. Wait, so therefore we have to make changes to our liturgy, and we have to also came along, Baruch Hashem, they save us from our parents' transgressions, and they change the order. Why do they do this? Beats me. They change the order. Now, halacha l'maaseh, what taka do we do? So you should be aware that there are two major players in this discussion. One is the Dogel Meravava. The Mishnah Berurah, in fact, quotes the Dogel Meravava. The Dogel Meravava, and then Rav Moshe Feinstein. Moshe Feinstein is a very big Kiddush. And Dogel Meravava says something very fascinating. He says, the printers never intended that all three should be set. Their intent was, sometimes Shabbos Shuva is Parshas Hazinu, not this year, and sometimes Shabbos Shuva is Shabbos Vayelech. So the Kavanah was, when Shabbos Shuva is Vayelech, then you're supposed to read from, if not mistaken, from Yoel. Because in Yoel, what does it say in Yoel? I'm finishing up, don't worry, I'm not going to keep you here much longer. What does it say in Yoel? You can find the exact sukkim. Right? In Yoel it says, Kishakarim Pash Vayelech, B'Shabbos Shuv, like this year, Yosef Sukkim Micha. Why? What does it say in our parasha? It says, Vayelech, it says, V'chora Apoi. This Toichacha on this week's parasha. And the words of Toichacha are, V'chora Apoi. What does it say in Micha? In those three psukim? It says there, Lo Hechechzik, Lo Ad Apoi. Hashem will not contain his anger for long. Perfect. So you can't end off with Hosea because it says Upoishim Yukashluvam, and you got to add something else to soften the harsh ending. So say something that relates to the parasha. You laying this week Parashas Vayelech. It says Vechora Apo. It's appropriate to say Micha Loi Hechazik Loar Apoi. But if you laying on Parashas Shabbos Shuva, if last week we would have laid of Nitzav Vayelech, and that would mean that Shabbos we would learn Hazinu, then you learn from Yoel. Because what does it say in Hazinu? It says in Hazinu Yaroif Kamotor Likhi, and in Yoel it says Vayoyred Lochem Geshem Moire. The rain will come down and satiate the earth. So it relates better to the Parashas Hazinu to read from Yoel. It was never the intent of the printers that we should lay both. The printers only meant you lay Shuva, and you finish off most of the time, it's Parshas Hazinu, and therefore that's why the printers put first Hosea, Micha. The reason why the printers put first Micha out of order, Micha by the way is at the end of Teyasa, it's going backwards, is because that's what's more common. It's more common than Shabbos Shuva is Hazinu. It's less common this year, it's a less common year. So they put afterwards what happens less often than you append to Hosea Yoel. This is the chiddush of the Dogel Meravava. You should only lay two and not three. And it depends on if you lay in Shabbos Shuva is Hazinu or Vayel. But don't lay in three. And then Rav Moshe Feinstein says the reason why the printers put both is because it depends if you're learning from klaf. And you have parchment, you're not supposed to mish, to skip around in the middle as least as possible. So Yoel is right next to Hosea. So if you're learning from parchment, so then you can't go mish all the way to Micha. Micha's all the way at the end of Treyasa. You gotta go, you're learning Hosea, and then you're gonna start rolling in the middle. The guy's making a bracha. You gotta nish, and you gotta find a place. You're gonna get confused. So don't go mish all the way to the end of Treyasa Tamicha. Just lay in the next sefer. The next sefer, Yoel, just one column. Two lines later, you go right away to Yoel. If you have klaf, you're laying from Yoel. If you have a chumish, you don't have a klaf in shul. You're laying from a chumish. So then there's no issue of skipping. It's a chumash, it's printed. So don't bother laning. Tircha de tzibura. Don't lane from your rain. Shuvah Yisrael. It's a whole inyan. You don't want to end off on a bad note. So then you lane the three psukim from Micha. Whoever told you to lane all three together? And if you're going to lane all three together, you're going backwards. You're starting over here at first with Hoshea, the very beginning of Treyasa, and then you're going to the end of Treyasa, then you're going back into the middle of Treyasa. You're all confused. So these are the two mahalchim, the Dagul Miravava and of Moshe Feinstein. It was never ever the intent to lane all three. You only were meant to lane two. Either the Dagul Miravava depends upon what is the Parashas HaShavua, or of Moshe Feinstein, the difference was if you're laning from cloth, you're laning from a printed chumash. Somehow, we all got confused. And today, it's accepted almost everywhere. I don't think you're going to find a shul that's going to pay attention to what it says, and they're not going to pay attention to what Rav Moshe says, and they're going to lane all three. Guarantee every shul is going to lane all three. So since already we're already corrupt, and we're laning all three, if you're going to be corrupt, you might as well do it right. If you're already corrupt, you're going to lane all three, so lane it in order. It's not right to lane it backwards. If you really want to lane it in order, so lane you lane it. You lane it in the proper, in the correct order. First Hoshea, then you lane from Yoel, and then you lane from Micha. That is why the article has changed the order, and all of the new chumashim have changed the order. They're acknowledging the fact that you can't tell Klal Yisrael what to do. They want to lane all three. If you want to lane all three, at least do it the right way. Like, you know, ever watched the Brady Bunch? When Bobby wanted, the little one wanted to run away? So the mother says, listen, you want to run away? So let me at least pack you up a good lunch. Let me give you some money. Let me go. And, you know, make sure you're all ready to go. You'll survive out there in the world. I'll help you out. Here's a credit card, you know, and here's my telephone number. You need me, I'll come get you. If you're going to do it wrong, do it at least wrong the right way. This is mamish what we do. Someone told me that in Chaim Berlin, okay, this performed in Chaim Berlin, until very recently, they laned from klaf all the years, until very recently, maybe like 3-4 years ago, they laned all three, like everyone else in klaf, so they don't know what they're doing. They're laning all three, and they laned it backwards, with klaf. The chumash is already not so bad, because chumash is not going anywhere. So they lane Hoshea, and then they would mish all the way to Micha, and then they would work their way back to Yoel. And then people became more learned, and they discovered that, you know, we're really not supposed to be learning all three, but we've been doing this for the last 50 years, whatever it is. Maybe we should, you know, do it the right way, but if we only link two of the three, everyone's going to start screaming. So you know what? Let's do it wrong the right way. And they changed the minug, and they now lane from klaf in order. They lane from klaf Hoshea, Yoel, and then Micha. I remember last year in Or Yitzchak, the Darun Shabbos, they got klaf, and also the Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Wallstein, so he asked me to help him to make an investigation. What does the Olam Taka do? It was the first time they were going to lane. And his conclusion was, you do it wrong the right way by laning all three in order. You lane all the correct order, you mish. There's not so much mishing really to do. The new klafim, I don't know, it's really not all that much to mish. It goes 1, 2, 3. One, you have it prepared in advance. You won't even know that they're mishing. You go Hoshea, you go to Yoel. It takes 2 seconds. You're right there in 1 second. You know, you're right by Micha right away. This is the bottom line, how we do it. We do it wrong today the right way. All right, have a good day.
It's like today on Primary Day. Very important. The first priority is respect Simcha Felder. And after that, it's not who you vote for, it's who you're voting against. But please, get out there and vote.
I'm so deep.